From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Today we discuss Iowa's new shall-issue weapons law, which went into effect at the beginning of this month. One of the changes, it makes it more difficult for county sheriffs to deny permits. First, I talk with Ross Loader of the Iowa Department of Public Safety about all the changes under the new law. Then in our second half hour, two opposing views on whether it's good for Iowa. Lonnie Pulkrovic, the sheriff of Johnson County, opposes the new gun law. Sean McClanahan, president of the Iowa Firearms Coalition, supports it. Are you a gun owner? Are you concerned about gun issues? What do you think of Iowa's new weapons law? Our discussion starts right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last year, former Governor Chet Culver signed a bipartisan gun bill, which earned him the endorsement of the National Rifle Association. And this new law took effect the first of the month. Later in the show, we'll hear opposing views of the new law. Sean McClanahan, president of the Iowa Firearms Coalition, and Lonnie Pulkrovic, the sheriff of Johnson County. But first of all, I'm joined now by Ross Loader, the legislative liaison for the Iowa Department of Public Safety. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ross, what are the major changes that have taken place with this new weapons law?
This bill is commonly referred to as the shall-issue weapons permit bill. That is clearly the centerpiece of the legislation. Historically, in Iowa, weapons carry permits have been issued entirely at the discretion of the issuing officers, being the 99 sheriffs in Iowa, as well as the Iowa Department of Public Safety. Some sheriffs historically have operated on a shall-issue basis so that if a person is not disqualified from possessing firearms and met the basic background check requirements, they would automatically be issued a permit. At the other end of the spectrum, we've had some issuing officers who have issued very few weapons carry permits. And there was a lot of middle ground, too, wherein most applicants would get a weapons carry permit if they applied. But there was quite a bit of discretion that the issuing officers possessed. Under the new law, every issuing officer, all 99 sheriffs and the Iowa Department of Public Safety, are required to issue a weapons carry permit to anybody who is not, as a matter of law, disqualified from obtaining a carry permit.
What do you think average Iowans will notice most about these changes, if anything?
It's difficult to say. Ultimately, the vast majority of people who have a weapons carry permit and do carry weapons do so in a fairly discreet fashion. So even if there's a significant increase in the number of people who obtain a carry permit, it may translate into very little visible difference as a person goes about the state traveling and working. One difference is that there has been some discussion with private businesses that have concerns about carrying of weapons in a workplace or in a place of public assembly. And there is some consideration happening right now by private businesses of posting signs saying no weapons allowed. Ultimately, it's very difficult to predict ultimately how many businesses and other private establishments would post. One other difference I want to mention in the carry permit is that the carry permit historically has been a one-year permit. It has been converted to a five-year permit, so the applicants themselves will now have to appear far less frequently at the sheriff's office to obtain their permit.
Tell us where people are not allowed to carry a gun, where it's always off limits.
The new statute specifically says that a carry permit is valid statewide except where prohibited by state or federal law. There are a number of different provisions of both state and federal law that restrict the carrying of weapons. The most common and widely recognizable of those restrictions would be on school grounds, at the campuses of the Board of Regents institutions, being the University of Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI. Also, the state-licensed casinos have a weapons ban in place. Buildings on the state capitol complex grounds, Iowa State Fairgrounds, and obviously federal courthouses, federal offices, and federal buildings also have a restriction that applies. In addition to that, there are very complex interactions between state hunting regulations and the carry permit laws. The DNR has done quite a bit of work to try to work through those issues and put information out to the public so that they have a very clear understanding of when their carry permit is valid and in what types of hunting situations it is valid and in what situations it is not.
Ross, we've seen local news stories concerning city councils and county boards of supervisors considering banning weapons from property that's owned by the city or the county. Does this new law address this?
Iowa, several decades ago, I think it was probably about two decades ago, enacted a preemption clause that does restrict the enactment of city and county ordinances pertaining to firearms. And that provision clearly, for example, would prohibit a city or county from banning the possession of weapons or enacting regulations on the possession or transfer of weapons within that city or county. In 2003, the Iowa Attorney General was asked a question whether the preemption clause, which was not altered by the legislation in 2010, does in fact restrict a city and county from, in a narrow proprietary sense, enacting a restriction on carrying of weapons within a city or county building. In 2003, the Attorney General issued a formal written opinion, and it was the conclusion and opinion of the Attorney General at that time that while a city or county is preempted from enacting regulations generally pertaining to firearms, the Attorney General felt that a city or a county could in fact enact a restriction on carrying of weapons within a city or county building. Recently, the Attorney General's office sent out a communication indicating that they continue to believe that their conclusions in 2003 were valid. There is across the state right now quite a bit of discussion and some controversy surrounding this issue as cities and counties either revisit their previously enacted ordinances or consider adopting new ordinances that would limit the scope of authority of a person to carry within either some or all city or county buildings. This is clearly a hot topic and one, obviously, we have a state preemption law that has been on the books for some time, and we have an attorney general's opinion. But I do anticipate that there will be further discussion on this point because it is somewhat controversial.
You mentioned earlier business owners. Let's say I'm a business owner. I'm allowed to restrict weapons in my place of business, correct?
This is a very commonly asked question and one that's fairly hard to answer because this matter is not addressed at all in Iowa law. In some states, if you were to look around the country and look at weapons law, you'd see very specific provisions specifying how a private property owner can post notice of a restriction and what they might need to do. In some states, you actually see requirements that any business or private property owner that post notice restricting the carrying of weapons is also required to do certain things. For example, making available a gun locker or other secure storage for a person to check their weapon. Those issues are not addressed at all in Iowa law. We do receive the question frequently from any number of private businesses and private individuals who might want to restrict the carrying of weapons. And ultimately, what we can do is explain that from an enforcement perspective, our view is that because a weapons permit is valid statewide, if a private property owner wishes to exercise their inherent rights to control access to their property, a person who's carrying in contradiction to a prohibition or the stated wishes of a property owner would at most be committing a trespass offense, depending on the facts and circumstances involved.
Mm-hmm. If I can read between the lines there, let's take a concrete issue. I noticed that my local bank put up a sign, no weapons permitted within the doors. As a gun owner, can I challenge that? What if I walk in with a holster and a pistol? And what rights do I have as a gun owner? What rights do the bank owners have?
Well, we obviously think that private property owners, including banks, have broad authority over access to their property. If a person with a valid carry permit were to carry in violation of the stated wishes of the property owner and law enforcement became involved and came to the scene, what you potentially might have is a criminal trespass charge that could stem from that incident if a person were knowingly carrying in violation of the stated wishes of the property owner.
Talking about Iowa's new weapons law with Ross Loader, a legislative liaison for the Iowa Department of Public Safety. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio. One thing I believe the new law allows is for people to carry a gun into a bar. Is that correct? Any restrictions there?
Assuming that the private property owner, the owner or person in control of the bar or other establishment that serves alcoholic beverages has not posted, there's certainly nothing that would prohibit a person from carrying their weapon into such an establishment. And that is, in some areas of the state, a change from what has been in effect for a long time. There were quite a number of issuing officers that included a restriction on each permit they issued, clearly stating that the permit was not valid in an establishment that serves alcoholic beverages or not valid while a person is under the influence of alcohol or drugs. One of the major features of this legislation was the removal of the ability of the permit issuing officer to include restrictions on the face of the permit. Now what you have for the first time is a uniform provision with statewide applicability that renders a carry permit invalid if a person is intoxicated as defined in OWI law.
I'm going to guess that most Iowans are, I grew up in the state, most Iowans are not used to seeing guns carried openly. Will this law result in more guns being carried openly, do you believe?
That's difficult to say because, interestingly enough, even before the change in law, this is not well known or not well understood. But Iowa's carry permit has allowed open carry for many, many decades. So really, we're not dealing with a change in law other than the fact that a permit issuing officer in the past could include restrictions, and I don't know how many sheriffs included restrictions making it illegal to carry openly, but I don't think there were very many. The vast majority of weapons carry permit holders do prefer to carry concealed simply because they would end up drawing a great deal of attention to themselves and potentially get citizens alarmed and have law enforcement response. And though legally able to carry openly, it may turn out to be a fairly disruptive, unpleasant experience for the permit holder.
Well, most we would think most people would not have an open carrying. We can safely assume, because there are all sorts of people, that some will make a show of carrying a gun. Does your department not anticipate this?
It's very difficult to say. We're just simply going to move forward and wait and see how this plays out. And we've provided a great deal of training and information to DPS officers so that they're aware of the details of the law and know what they can and can't do from an enforcement perspective, know the scope of authority. We'll simply have to see how it all plays out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say I'm very proud of being a gun owner, and I go to the downtown of wherever I live and carry it openly, twirl my pistol on my finger, walk around, strut around. Anything wrong with that?
Well, it depends. Depending on exactly what you're doing with the weapon, you might potentially, you know, be perceived as brandishing or threatening with a weapon, which obviously you can't do. Now, the open carry of the weapon, if you have a valid carry permit, is legal. And
I can carry it around downtown, not just in a holster, but carry it actually in my hand in a non-threatening way would be fine.
That is our reading of the law, correct.
And any advice for those of us who would be alarmed at seeing that walking down the street, someone carrying a weapon openly, even in their hand? What can people do? Any way to verify that person has a permit? Do they need a reason to have it in their hand walking down the street? Can you do anything as an average citizen?
Obviously, in all regards, our advice to private citizens who have a concern would be to not attempt to take the law into their own hands and not attempt as a private citizen to approach an individual who's causing them concern or to attempt to verify the validity of a permit, but instead to contact law enforcement and let an officer who has the training in the exact requirements of Iowa law and the scope of authority of a carry permit respond. I think we don't want to have confrontations between armed citizens or between an unarmed citizen and an armed citizen, but would instead encourage individuals with a concern to contact law enforcement.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Ross Loader, legislative liaison for the Iowa Department of Public Safety, about Iowa's new weapons law, which just went into effect. What are some of the other most common questions people have about this new law that you're getting there?
Oh, by far the most frequent question that we get, not only from private citizens who may be considering applying for a carry permit, but also from the sheriff's offices across the state and from training officers, certified instructors, would be the questions pertaining to the training requirements of the new law. Mm-hmm. There is a requirement that every person who is applying for a permit obtain training from a certified instructor. In most instances, that certified instructor would hold certification from the National Rifle Association or from the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy. There are a few other training options. For example, a person who receives small arms training in conjunction with their military service can present their discharge papers, what's commonly known as a DD-214. It's a Department of Defense form. The presentation of a DD-214 does, in fact, count and qualify as training as required under the law.
So in brief, if I'm someone who has never owned a weapon before, a gun, tick off quickly the list that the path towards having a gun legally?
Well, what an individual would need to do is go out and obtain training from any NRA-certified instructor or from an Iowa Law Enforcement Academy-certified instructor, or if they had served in the military and have discharge papers, particularly the DD-214, that they could present as satisfactory evidence of the completion of small arms training in the military. What that individual would need to do is take that documentation, a certificate indicating completion of a training course or their military discharge papers, go to the sheriff's office if they're a resident of the state, go to the sheriff in your county of residence, bring that training documentation, and fill out a uniform application form that the Department of Public Safety is responsible for maintaining and making available to the sheriff. When that application is complete, the sheriff must then review the evidence that the individual has completed required training, and the sheriff will then also begin a background check to ensure that the person's not disqualified. That's commonly referred to as a NICS check, which is a national check maintained by the federal government. It stands for National Instant Check System. And that checks criminal history information as well as certain other disqualifying databases that contain information about things like involuntary committals, dishonorable discharges, or other things that would disqualify a person from obtaining a carry permit.
How have the Arizona shootings colored the implementation of this new law and your work concerning it with the Iowa Department of Public Safety?
On that issue, I would have to probably defer to a sheriff because the Department of Public Safety is only responsible for issuing non-resident professional permits, which are relatively infrequent. For example, if a resident of Illinois or Nebraska or any other surrounding state perhaps worked as an armed security guard in the state of Iowa, they're not an Iowa resident, but they do need to go armed in the course of their employment. So as a non-resident who needs to go armed for professional reasons, they would apply to the Department of Public Safety. The vast majority of permit issuance matters are handled by the sheriffs. They're out there on the ground every day dealing with a large number of applicants, and they would have a much better sense for that matter than would the Department of Public Safety in our very limited permit issuance role.
But you do handle queries. Have you seen an uptick in the number of queries that you can trace back to the Arizona shootings?
No. At this point, the Department of Public Safety, we continue to receive a very large number of queries, and that has been steadily increasing ever since the passage of the Act in 2010. But we've spent 6 months dealing with a high volume of inquiries. particularly on the training issue that I discussed. At this point in time, we have not noticed an uptick in the number of queries. In fact, the largest surge of queries came in the weeks immediately prior to the effective date of the Act, because though the Act was passed in during the 2010 legislative session, it had a delayed effective date, so that the new law took effect January 1st. That was intended to allow the Department of Public Safety to revise our forms, adopt new rules, and revise procedures, communicate with sheriffs about all of that. And right around and just immediately prior to the effective date of the law change is when we saw the greatest change in the number of inquiries.
When we pull back and consider Iowa in the context of other states, is Iowa with this new law, how would you place Iowa with this new law when we look at a spectrum of different gun law restrictions in the 50 states? Is Iowa in the middle, in the less restrictive side of the spectrum, or still in the more restrictive side of it?
Well, that's actually a very interesting question and a very important question, but it's one that's very difficult to answer because there are so many complex aspects to weapons law that a simple answer of less restrictive, more restrictive is somewhat challenging. In some regards, we have clearly moved toward the less restrictive end of the spectrum. But in other regards, we still have continue to have restrictions that are not commonly seen in other states. For example, in Iowa, to acquire a handgun, a person is required to obtain a permit to acquire. Technically speaking, it's called a permit to acquire a pistol or revolver. A weapons carry permit is also recognized as a permit to acquire. And so that's a feature of Iowa law that continues to be more restrictive. Now, in terms of allowing open carry of any dangerous weapon, in that regard, I think we've moved toward the less restrictive end, but we've not gone so far as allowing permitless carry, which I think we now have three states where if a person is not prohibited from possessing firearms as a result of, say, a felony conviction or an involuntary mental health committal or a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence or similar disqualifier, a person is allowed to carry a weapon without even applying for or obtaining a permit. And we have not gone that far. So there are features of Iowa law that continue to be toward the more restrictive end. Generally speaking, obviously, this particular legislative enactment has moved us pretty considerably toward the less restrictive end of the spectrum when viewed from a national perspective.
Ross Loader, I want to thank you very much for joining us, legislative liaison for the Iowa Department of Public Safety. Ross, thanks again.
Thank you.
And coming up, two opposing views on whether the new weapons law is good for Iowa. Lonnie Pokrovic, sheriff of Johnson County, will be with us. He opposes the new gun law. Sean McClanahan, president of the Iowa Firearms Coalition, supports it. They'll be coming up next. Join us next half hour of The Exchange. We want to hear from you as well. What do you think of Iowa's new weapons law now that you've heard it described? What are your questions? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Also on email, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Ben Kiefer, back to talk more about Iowa's shall issue, the new gun law since the beginning of this month. After a short break, this is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today we're discussing Iowa's new shall issue weapons law, which went into effect at the beginning of this month. In our first half hour, you heard Ross Loader of the Iowa Department of Public Safety telling us about the changes under the new law. In short, the new law standardizes the way guns are issued throughout the state, or what is described as weapons, what qualify as weapons. Before, county sheriffs could deny a permit to anyone for any reason, a so-called may issue approach. Many sheriffs would also require proof of competency on a firing range. The new law gets rid of those things and makes Iowa a shall issue state. But what people consider as new laws are not really new. For example, before the new law, people could still have a permit to carry a gun concealed or openly. However, many sheriffs would put restrictions on permits, stating they must be concealed. Under the new law, no one can be denied if he or she passes a background check and has completed the required training. Now we'd like to have two opposing views on whether the new law is good for Iowa. Joining us in this half hour, Lonnie Pokrovic, the sheriff of Johnson County in our studios in Iowa City. Welcome to you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Also joining us, Sean McClanahan, president of the Iowa Firearms Coalition from our studio in Des Moines. Sean, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Well, I invite our listeners to join us this half hour. Are you a gun owner? Have you acquired a weapon permit since the new law went into effect? What are your concerns? Do you think Iowa's new shall-issue weapons law is good for Iowa? 1-866-780-9100. The exchange at iowapublicradio.org is our email. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Since you are a proponent of this new law, Sean McClanahan, I'd like to have you take the first crack at this. Ross Loader of the Iowa Department of Public Safety outlined many of the changes in the new law. Why do you think it's a change for the better? Why is this so important?
Well, it actually just levels the playing field statewide. As you pointed out, before this segment started, we had some sheriffs that would issue a permit very easily, sheriffs such as those in maybe Polk County or Jones County. And then there were other sheriffs who may not have issued permits, some not at all. And because this is a statewide law, it now levels the playing field so that all citizens of Iowa who are law-abiding, they can pass the disqualifiers, they have an equal chance to obtain a permit to carry weapons. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to discriminate against anyone simply because of a sheriff's opinion that perhaps that person shouldn't carry, or perhaps the sheriff just doesn't want people having firearms out in public.
Mm-hmm. You say discriminate, but we could also make the argument that the sheriff knows the people in his or her county best and can discern, can judge whether a person should have a permit or not. Can you see that as a valid argument?
No, I can't, because every sheriff cannot know every person in his or her county. I would say that the sheriff of Polk County probably wouldn't know me from anybody else that walks into his office, other than the fact that, I don't know, maybe he's seen me on the news here recently.
Okay. Let's go to the sheriff of Johnson County, Lonnie Pokrovic. You oppose the new law? Why?
Well, for several reasons. But first of all, I would just say that some sheriffs in Iowa have been unfairly labeled as anti-gun. Sheriffs are not anti-gun. We're actually pro-public safety. We want to make sure that Iowans carrying in public who could potentially put bystanders in the crossfires if they choose to use their weapons need to be adequately trained and proficient in using a weapon. And that's one of the big changes that we've seen is the training that comes along with this. Before, the sheriff also had the ability to sign off or approve of the training program. And in Johnson County, we had 2 at the time, and now there's as many as 10. And so if you take the 10 times the 99 counties, you may have 1,000 different ways that the class is taught now. The other thing that I don't see is the definition of a law-abiding citizen. My opinion is someone being eliminated just because they have a felony doesn't necessarily mean they're still not a law-abiding, or they may be a law-abiding. But what we see is I've had in the first 2 weeks already over 20 people with criminal records that are coming in and getting weapons permits, and that may include some that are coming in with unpaid fines. So if someone has 5, 6, 7 serious misdemeanors or aggravated misdemeanors on their criminal past, even though it might not be in the last 2 or 3 years, is that person a law-abiding citizen? Are they a law-abiding citizen if they still have fines that they owe to the state? I don't think so. And therefore, that's one of the things I don't like, is the fact that one of the major eliminators is just a felony, whereas we have other people that have committed and been convicted of multiple crimes that are considered law-abiding and eligible.
Mm-hmm. So you have seen numerous people come through your doors for permits who have gained permits who you wouldn't have given to last year.
Absolutely.
And how many would that be?
I've got 20 so far that have criminal records that since in the first 2 weeks.
Okay. How do you respond to that, Sean McClanahan? It seems the sheriff is making a case for a less safe Iowa.
Well, I guess the big question that I would have, actually two questions. The first question is, these people that are coming in and applying for a permit, if they are in fact serious misdemeanors or aggravated misdemeanors, whatever, does the issuing of a permit to these people, does it change the way that a law enforcement officer would interact with those people? So in other words, if John Q. Public, who has, whether they're traffic tickets or whether they're serious misdemeanors that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, does a law enforcement officer treat that person any differently because he does or he doesn't have a permit? It seems to me that a law enforcement officer would approach any subject who maybe would become a suspect the same way. You assume that they are armed until you prove otherwise. And, of course, the other question then would be, where do you draw the line? I mean, somewhere you have to have a level of, this is who we are or we are not going to issue a permit to. Right now it is felonies, mm-hmm, or domestic assault. Are you going to say traffic tickets now? Is someone with traffic tickets, is that a valid reason for someone to not be able to exercise what has already been proven to be an individual right?
Sheriff Pokrovic, where do you see the new line? What is that new line you have to get used to?
Well, the new line is right now simply the domestic abuse, under mental health commitment, and felons. Though that's the line, and that's what I dislike about this law. You know, this was pushed through by people saying that any law-abiding citizen should be issued a gun permit. Well, again, nobody ever defined law-abiding citizen, and that's where we have troubles. The sheriff was always and has always been the gatekeeper, and although the sheriff may not know everyone in their county, which clearly I don't know all 130,000 residents in Johnson County, we're in a position where we obtain a lot of information about people, whether it's that we know that they've been receiving mental health treatment, we know that they're taking medications for that, but they may not have been committed. That's information that oftentimes sheriffs would get and we would put to use in using our discretion.
We have a lot of people wanting to get input on this very short half hour about Iowa's new weapons law, the shall issue law. I want to get to a few of those right now. Aaron from Coralville writes in an email, the Coralville Police Department and the Johnson County Sheriff's Office says it's legal for businesses to post signs banning weapons on their premises. Nevertheless, managers of all the local businesses that I have contacted about posting such signs tell me they would like to but are afraid of lawsuits. Aaron wants us to clarify that. What can we say about posting signs?
Is that for me?
Sure.
Yes. Hey.
Yeah, well, I'm of the opinion that a business owner can, in fact, regulate who comes and goes in their business. And although you people do test the limits and can walk in and can be armed, and hopefully if they're carrying concealed, they're never going to know. But if, in fact, a business wants to, they are entitled to post a sign on their door that says no weapons allowed. And if you're a law-abiding citizen, if you're carrying a weapon, that means you turn around at the door and go the other way. You shouldn't have to be asked to leave.
Any response to that, Sean?
No, that's perfectly perfectly acceptable, and there shouldn't be any fear of lawsuits. It's likened to a no shirt, no shoes, no service kind of thing. It's up to every individual business owner to make that choice.
Nick is joining us from Iowa City. He dialed 1-866-780-9100. Nick, what are your concerns here?
Well, I have two concerns. First of all, what is legal has to be balanced with what is appropriate. And relative to the issue of open carry, where somebody actually has their firearm strapped to their side and held by a holster in open public, it may be legal, but it's certainly not appropriate. And I don't know of any firearm owners that would take seriously their right, the right to carry, who really would disagree with me on that. To carry openly on a range is one thing, but to carry openly in the public is just simply not appropriate. The second observation that I would make is that I've dealt with the sheriff's office for a number of years in connection with my applications, and I've always noted that the sheriff's office has taken a very balanced and fair approach, to this issue. And I take very seriously the concerns that the sheriff is expressing here on the basis of my past dealings with his office. But I have a question for the sheriff, and that's this. If I'm driving down the road and I'm stopped by a law enforcement officer for speeding or for a tail light that's out, what is your recommendation with respect to whether I declare immediately to the officer that I have a firearm and I have a right to carry, or is that something I should wait for the officer to ask me?
Well, really, that's your own preference, what you're comfortable with. My recommendation is when someone gets stopped, that you sit down or you stay seated, put your car in park, put both hands up on the steering wheel after you've rolled down the window and await the arrival of the officer. Once they come up to the window, if that's what you're comfortable with, simply tell them, officer, I want to tell you in advance, I do have a firearm in this car, and I do have a valid permit to carry. I just want to make sure that you know that up front, because if you would see something, I do not want to cause you any alarm.
That's what you'd recommend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Nick, thank you from Iowa City. All kinds of scenarios. Nick had a great one there that he brought up, that when you try to wrap your mind around this new law that could happen. One that comes to mind for me is we all get solicitors at our door. What if someone's soliciting selling a new detergent at your door and they're wearing a weapon openly? Is there anything against that?
You're asking me?
I'm asking yeah. either of you. I'm just thinking the intimidation factor could be great there.
I have a genuine problem. I think most responsible gun permit owners do, in fact, intend to carry concealed. We all know that people will push the limits and have pushed the limits, and they will on this law eventually as well.
Have you seen that in these first few days, Sheriff?
We have not yet. But basically, law enforcement at times wouldn't even be needed if people didn't push the limits of society. So I think the sheriff's being able to restrict restrict a permit to carry a gun, we should be able to restrict it to being, first of all, a handgun. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to restrict it to being concealed as well.
Well, let me go to Sean McClanahan. Why is it so important that people be unrestricted when it comes to openly carrying a firearm?
I would say, why not? I mean, this is something that, Iowa's not plowing new earth here. This is an issue that has come up in many other states and has never, ever been any sort of has not been a problem. We are not the first state to allow open carry if someone chooses to do so. We're not the first state to go shall issue.
How do we measure according to other states? Where do we sit here in this spectrum now in Iowa?
We are, from just a shall issue perspective, we are the 39th state to go through and get shall issue. As was pointed out by Ross in the last half hour, there are actually three states that do not require a permit at all.
Arizona being one of them.
Arizona, Alaska, and Vermont. Mm-hmm. We are also not, and I honestly don't have the number of states that allow open carry. I think there's about a dozen or so, maybe 12, 15 that allow open carry. But again, it's not, in all of these states, this goes off without any sort of a problem. And, I would like to think that here in Iowa, we're just as intelligent, our citizens and our law enforcement. We're just as easy or just as able to handle this type of situation as the citizens in the other states.
Andrea is listening to our program. She writes on Facebook, I agree with a new law because I don't think it is the sheriff's place to write the law. but enforce it. If you allow it to be at the sheriff's discretion, politics, personal feelings, and even personal relationships could possibly come into play. Standardizing safety classes and the steps to get a permit ensures that this is not an issue. That's from Andrea, writing on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook. Sheriff Pokrobic, you have some real concerns that we haven't addressed when we come to firearms and alcohol. Specifically, what are the changes here you see in terms of firearms being allowed in a bar?
Yeah, again, this is something that many sheriffs restricted in the past. In the past, in Iowa, for the most part, open carry wasn't an issue because most sheriffs that I know restricted it to be concealed and to a handgun. Again, that's the important thing. Now it can't be restricted to either one of those. But as far as alcohol, there was a dilemma that we struggled with when I took office 6 years ago, that we had one of the stamps that said it wasn't valid where alcohol was consumed. And so the intent of that was to not have the guns go in the bars. Well, I then listened to some people who lobbied me that said, well, you know, what about if I want to go into Chili's and have dinner with my family? And then I have to leave the gun out in the car and that sort of thing. So we changed our wording to not valid while consuming alcohol or illegal drugs in order to try and address that issue. Well, now they have changed it so that we can't restrict it to that, and people can go into bars as long as the bar owner, of course, allows it and it's not posted, and they can consume. And so then they decided to put an alcohol limit on it, similar to drunk driving, of how you can't have a blood alcohol in excess of 0.8, otherwise you're in violation of your permit. But the problem is there's no mechanism for law enforcement to check and test and try and get to that 0.8. As opposed to an OWI, drunk driving, you have the implied consent law that law enforcement uses as a mechanism to get the driver to either take a test or refuse, and if they refuse, those are their consequences.
Sean McClanahan, please, president of the Iowa Firearms Coalition, respond to that concern that the sheriff has here.
Well, again, this is, you know, we're talking about, and I appreciate that the sheriff certainly likened this to the driving, because we all know that you know, drunk driving is a major problem, and we've drawn the line there at the 0.08. Again, not every county, not every sheriff, while the vast majority may have put on their invalid when consuming alcohol or illegal drugs, not every sheriff had done that. And again, I think that we're painting a very broad brush, or painting with a broad brush, this fact that now we're going to have all of these people showing up in droves to bars carrying firearms. And the reality of the situation is that the citizens out there who are concerned enough to want to carry a firearm for their own personal protection also are the same citizens that are concerned enough to use that firearm in a responsible manner. And I think that there's a lot of, we call it fear, uncertainty, and doubt about these changes in the laws, that the world is going to come to an end. Certainly drinking and carrying a firearm, not something that you would ever condone.
Okay.
That's irresponsible.
Just over a minute left. I want to get 30 seconds from each of you as a closing remark. Before that, Lisa on Twitter writes, "No, I do not support this law. The purpose of carrying a gun is to kill. It is a vile law and makes me ashamed of Iowa." Let me, Sheriff, please, 30 seconds, and then we'll go to Sean McClanahan.
Well, I would support modifying the law. The gun advocates that pushed this through last year, their next step is to open it up even further. They want to eliminate the whole permitting process. And you know, as the sheriff, as the gatekeeper, I've talked to a lot of people out in the public who didn't know that this law happened. They're upset about it, and they'd like to see us change. Not necessarily we don't have to go back to May issue, but go back to some sensible change on this, and so that we can regulate the requirements to get a permit.
Sean McClanahan, your 30 seconds to close, please.
Sure. We are definitely looking to further broaden Iowa's or Iowan citizens' rights. What we've seen in the past is when people start talking about sensible gun laws, all they are doing is further restricting that which is a right. And we firmly believe that whether or not whether or not you choose to agree with this law or not, it is every individual citizen's right to have at their disposal the most effective tool for self-defense, should they choose to do so.
President of the Iowa Firearms Coalition, Sean McClanahan, thank you. Lonnie Pokrabic, Sheriff of Johnson County, thank you for your views as well. Gentlemen, thank you. The Exchange is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Ryan Garvey, Brian Dow, and Mitchell Schmidt. Mitchell's last day today. Mitchell, thanks for all the great effort we've had from you over the past few months. We wish you all the best in the future. Technical support from Dennis Reese, and in Des Moines, help from John Pemble, the executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows, Jeff Schmidt. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.